Hey, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
It's just us tonight.
It's been a few weeks since we did that.
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking about how it's been a really long time since it was just us.
Yeah, maybe since, let me think, did we do it that way when we came back from the trip? Or at least we did do it.
Yeah.
I was at your house for the trip we played Neo Contra.
Right. That was the last time. Then we missed a week when we were on the trip. And then when we got back is when the VHS episode had come out.
Right. So, and you know, you were playing Mystical Ninja last night, and you were just now telling me before we went live that you were trying to beat that today, but you're in a tough spot.
Yeah. I only have one life left, and the second to last level has a very long side-scrolling level at the end of it, and every time I die, I have to start the whole thing over again. So I don't want to go through grinding up all my money again. So I just keep on trying over and over again to make it through on one life, and it's been pretty challenging.
I do remember that being a bit of a tricky level in the palace.
Yeah. It's, I mean, the game isn't that hard. It is really not that hard. I feel good about it. It's just that. Mm-hmm. You know, having to do the whole level over and over again. And I thought I beat it, and then you drop to the floor, and there's a whole other, like, bit. And I died, and I was like, are you kidding me? You know, it was one of those moments where you just, like, you know, there's no one else in the room, and you're like, are you kidding me?
Well, my gaming for the weekend was I got a pretty good start on Persona 5 after finally finishing
so you brought your PS4 with you. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. When I went to my parents' house this weekend, I did bring my PS4 in. So I made some good progress.
Yeah.
I'm excited to kind of binge on that for the rest of this week.
Mhm. Must be nice.
Yeah.
Now I got like I have something very important I got to take care of for us. But also next weekend is it's my friend Chris's bachelor party. So I'm going to be going to Louisville.
Kentucky, yeah, that's just like to drink some bourbon. For whatever reason, I don't understand why it ends up being so close to you. That's random.
I have no idea. But, you know, he's a big bourbon drinker. So he's like, I want to go there, and I am his best man, so I was like, okay, I guess that's what we're gonna do. And it's funny because there's a lot of people coming from all over, but I just have to it's an hour and a half for me. So he's actually coming here. He's never been here.
Okay.
I was thinking about, you know, if he wasn't leaving on Sunday, I was like, he could stream with us, and I think that'd be a lot of fun.
That'd be cool. Because I mean you have history that goes back even further than this, but I mean, he was your manager at Games or EB when you worked there way back in the day.
Yeah, but I mean, I've been friends with him. You know, his mom was my third grade teacher. I mean, I've been good friends with him. Oh, for probably like really good friends with him probably since like seventh or eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, and you know, We have a long video game history together. He doesn't play too much anymore. He plays mostly like new stuff. Although he did, you know, he had a bunch of stuff in storage, and he just bought a house and got all this stuff out, and he had all this Dreamcast stuff. And I'm like, oh my gosh, he has like all these expensive games that are expensive now. I'm like, well, you know, if you don't want them anymore, just talk to me. He's got like Street Fighter, Third Strike. I guess he has Elemental Gimmick Gear, which is worth a decent amount these days, I guess, and it's like sealed because he never played it. But you know, these are from, you know, from when the Dreamcast stuff was like on clearance, so this was like $5 each with discount.
Yeah, I don't even think I know that game. That name doesn't sound familiar.
Yeah, Egg, EGG is usually what it's kind of known by. And you know, it would be fun to have him stream, but I think we're gonna shoot some Patreon stuff because we just have a lot of history. You know, we got played through Final Fantasy 3 on the Super NES together. We got the same day. You know, it's kind of, you know, played through Super Metroid together. Just like a lot of stuff like that I think that we'll have fun kind of talking about.
Yeah.
kind of a different side than what people are usually used to seeing. Speaking of Patreon, I put up the RGB 308 aftermath video, and people seem to think that it was pretty funny.
Really?
Yeah, people really enjoyed it. So Tried shot this 12-minute video showing just like the mess that he made from making this new episode, and
which is mostly still there.
So you just left it and you're just like, I'm leaving.
Yeah, well, I mean, I literally punched the button. Like, I loaded up stuff into my car, mm-hmm. and I was like waiting for you to finish watching the episode, and then as soon as you're like, all right, it's good to go, I punched the button to make it go live.
You left.
I left. I just put it all behind me.
Yeah, you know, it's all right. It was kind of a drawn out experience, I think, more so than you ever expected it to be.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny. Like, when I finish editing an episode, I look back and think, okay, when did I shoot my on-camera part? And, like, how much time has passed since then? I can't remember. Like, so I can't even tell you how many days of, like, shooting and editing it was.
Yeah.
But it was a lot.
It's, you know, the video's doing pretty well. I think that we kind of talked about how we didn't think that it was more of an obligation. I think that was something we had been talking about doing for a long time, and a lot of people were interested.
Yeah, but, I mean, for like almost really 2 years. Yeah, I mean, the reaction's been really good. It doesn't have like a crazy number of views, which I understand and was not expecting it to get. I mean, I knew that it was going to be a lot of work for something that wasn't really going to have broader appeal. It's a very niche topic.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's really talking to the audience we already have. And obviously we weren't able to look at everything. There've been a number of comments saying, you know, the Hama switchers,
yeah.
Some people have been talking about those and saying those are good. That's probably the main one that's come up. But I mean, at the end of the day, we kind of went through a lot of the things that we sort of tested out just in our own explorations to find the switcher setup that we wanted.
Right.
I gotta say, I'm jealous of your G-SCART Lite. I mean, that
after
I really want one now, because, you know, it's interesting. I didn't know about the low pass filter on the 3.2,
mm-hmm.
and I guess it's also on the 3.4, but which is, I mean, it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. I mean, I kind of learned a bit more about low pass filters for this episode, but
which is actually a good thing, because I want to do a kind of a short video on the new Super NES,
Super Nintendo. Yeah. If we get the chance to do that,
the little mod there, the 7374 mod.
Yeah, and that has a lot to do with that. It's the same
mm-hmm.
chip.
Mm-hmm.
So. So I mean, you got to have a low pass filter if you're going to a digital display, because it sees these, I guess you would call them spikes in the video signal, which are essentially making jail bars.
Right.
And if you don't have that, then it looks completely unusable. But the double low pass filter is softening it a bit more. It's not like extreme.
Mm-hmm.
But it sort of just makes me think, oh, I'm losing a little quality here, or a little sharpness, more than to be more specific. But yeah, that, I mean, I'm really curious what the new version of the light that has the digital sync regeneration that he calls it. I'm really curious how that will perform.
Because that was just something that he announced when you're well into editing the episode. You kind of put that in a bit later.
Right. Because that was something that came up, I think, in discussion on our Patreon Discord chat.
Right.
There were some links dropped to Super G leaving his newest update information on the Shmups forums,
mm-hmm.
Which I guess he's kind of Assembler Games forums has been down for a little while now, several weeks, I think. And so he's kind of moved his operations back to Shmups, and it sort of indicated that he might be kind of staying there.
Mm-hmm.
But Yeah, and so I thankfully I had the idea to do that part as a diagram using those lightsaber graphics that I made way back for RGB 1
but they
and
do
3.
Such a good job of getting the point across.
Yeah, I mean that. So I was like, how? I mean, I don't want to just use recordings of G-Scart Lite when that's not how that the one that you have does not have that feature on it. And so I was like, oh, I'll just make a diagram, and that'll let me cover like 25 seconds of video without having to do anything else.
Yep. I mean, that's doing these episodes. That's kind of what it comes down to. It's like, how long can I show certain things for? But it's kind of cool because you can showed like the difference between the low pass filter with and without it. And you're only able to show that because you had the 1.4 without it, correct?
Right, right. So I was, and I assume that the 1.4 that I have looks very similar to your light, your G-Scart light. I assume the result is basically the same.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess I get the low pass filter because it passes through my other one.
Right, and that's kind of a tricky. I mean, you could reverse them. I mean, you could put systems where you don't think it matters so much, like PS2 or you know something like that, for example, on the 3.2, pass that to. But then you obviously use that direct VGA to or D-sub to BNC output, which is very convenient. But you've still got that dual SCART output, which is almost just as convenient because you can use the SCART to BNC instead of the D-sub to BNC.
Right.
So
the only difference would be that I would have to break out the audio a different way because I use the audio from, you know, like the 3.5 millimeter.
Oh, yeah,
output.
Yeah.
That feeds over to where I'm sitting now.
Yeah, but it you know.
But I could use the SCART head breakout box that I have.
But in the end, though, I mean, even though it is a little softer, you are kind of in some ways preventing, you know, extra noise and just signal distortions in
that's
general.
That's very true. I mean, that's something that I will definitely think about and consider in the future. But it's just, I don't want to mess with
it. I'm not real sure what I'm actually not really going to put my setup back together. I'm kind of going to finish pulling everything out and rearrange my furniture a lot and then rerun all the wires. And I'm kind of just going to take that a step at a time. I haven't even thought about like, oh, I might need some of my wires. I might need to have different cable lengths and stuff. I'm kind of just going to take it slow. It's going to kind of be a slow process. I'm not going to try to do it all at once. Right. I'm going to just like move my furniture and then start laying down some wires. And then where I'm realizing this is way too long. This is too short. You know, then I'll cross that when I get there, but I'm not going to worry about getting everything hooked up again in a matter of days, especially because I'm playing Persona 5 right now. So, right. I mean, as long as I have one system working over HDMI, I'm good for the next while.
I'm going to go ahead and start this game. The reason I'm playing, so this is Dragon's Curse, the TurboGrafx-16 version of Wonder Boy 3, which is getting a remake that's coming out on Tuesday for the all the new systems. So I thought it'd be fun to kind of play this because I think this version is better than the Master System version by a good deal.
I think it's generally considered better, but I think the Master System version is maybe considered more canonical, if you want to put
way. Absolutely.
But this is the version that I played. I played it on Virtual Console.
I did too.
It was probably the second TurboGrafx game I got for Virtual Console, if I have my guess. I enjoyed this game.
Listen, seriously. You got to be aware of the dragon's power as they can turn you into a totally disgusting creature. A totally disgusting creature.
That, you know, I did like this game, but I thought I was going to like it as much as I liked Wonder Boy and Monster World, and I didn't like it quite as much.
Yeah, I mean, It's older.
Obviously. Yeah, but it's also got that really cool gimmick of turning into the different monsters.
Right.
So, but the level design is not as good in this game, but it's still a very good game. It's one of only two American region games that I've bought for the system so far. And I got the Hue card only version.
Which is expensive, which is like one of the... That's like the last TurboGrafx-16 game that like I feel is a must-have. I mean, I'd like to get Soldier Blade as well.
Oh, you don't you don't have
I don't have it, man. It's like $100.
Well, I got mine for like 80 with the Hue card.
Yeah, just I mean, but I can't do incomplete TurboGrafx-16 games.
I understand. But see, that's why I made that choice at the start of my collection for the system.
So one of the things I like about this game is that it starts with the final battle from Wonder Boy and Monster Land.
Yeah.
It's just kind of a cool little...
Yeah, it's, you know, whenever you start something like that, it's always like, oh my gosh, there was this, like, grand plan all along, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, it's something you don't really see very often.
Disgusting creature.
Man, it's so disgusting. This game has a good soundtrack, too. I mean, there's a lot that I like about this. And, you know, it's been a long time since I played it. So I wonder...
You played the Virtual Console version, too?
Yep.
So it's probably been about as long since we played it. You know, I haven't even had a chance to test my TurboGrafx card yet because I need the region mod.
Oh, right. Oh, because you have a Japanese system. Voltar's is working
on it. Voltar's working on it.
One of the hardest working men in the modding console business, I think. I think he's
in the field.
Yes, in the field. He's very busy all the time. But I mean, all right. Let's see. Whoa.
I can't wait though for when I can, you know, record RGB quality of this. This game frequently, and I'll I have a feeling it's going to be appearing in a lot of episodes.
You know, we like our Wonder Boy.
What can we say?
You know, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. I don't know if I'm going to be able to resist. Now you're a gruesome. Wait, you've been cursed by the dragons, and now you're a gruesome creature.
Gruesome.
Yeah. I think I might have to get the remake though on Tuesday,
before like holding out for physical release.
I'd buy the physical release too. I just feel like it's good to like support it because, you know, Wonder Boy, the Monster World games are one of my favorite series. So I think I might just have to do it because it looks really cool.
Yeah, Adam Zay actually ordered the 5-port Bandridge and had that delivered directly to Corey. He hasn't even had his own. I mean, he's got another one, but he wanted to order a second one. And so he actually had that delivered straight to Corey. And then we decided that I would do the episode. And I took it back from Corey's. So it's kind of been making a little bit of a trip that Switcher has.
But I think it's
roundabout trip.
I think he was saying that he's like not even sure
if he wants it.
If he wants it anymore.
But it was, I think we realized that. Like, you kind of have a number of episodes on your plate that are kind of top priorities right now. And I'm mostly kind of freed up. Like, kind of the last big obligation that I really need to do is a couple of the EverDrive alternatives that I've been saying I'll do. Mm-hmm. That's, like, kind of the last big thing that's like a really big outstanding obligation that I gotta get to really soon. And then So kind of my plan right now is I'm basically, aside from things that you need from me, I'm basically planning to take the rest of the month off from Imlig stuff.
Yeah. And, that's okay. I mean, this next episode, it's not an RGB episode, but I think it's going to be an interesting...
I think people might even be more excited about it when they see what it is. Yeah. Like it's,
and you know, you know, the way things are going, it may be done before it even gets announced, which is cool to me. It's cool to me.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible the way things are going, it's possible that April will be a one episode month.
Yeah, it's very possible. But I mean, I think that May could be a three episode, maybe. We'll see.
Maybe. I'm planning to edit two episodes in May, but possibly one of them will be held for release in June. I'm going to be on vacation for a pretty large chunk of June, so I'm kind of planning to. My next two episodes, I can kind of actually work on, like, hand in hand. Like, they, on the surface, they don't seem like they're related, but they kind of... But I'm making them related.
Yeah.
So, I can kind of... Doing work on one of them is kind of doing work on the other. So, I'm kind of planning to make two at one time. One is just going to be a game-focused episode, or actually a two-game episode. So that should, playing the games might be the most time consuming part. So then the other, you know, is going to be that EverDrive's Alternatives episode, which I think all that one is going to be, like, I kind of debated the form of that would take. And we were going to do like three different flash carts.
Right.
And one of them, someone that we thought we would be able to get it from, it turned out that he had actually sold it.
Right.
And then the other one was kind of just not something that was really that interesting anyway. So I'm going to look at the 64 drive, which is by Marshall, who does the Ultra HDMI, and the Super UFO Pro 8, which from everything that I've tested with that, I like it, but like people really hate on that. And I want to have some conversations with people who have used it, because I think it's pretty interesting, because no, you can't just put a ROM for a lot of games on it and expect it to work. But if you put the cartridge hardware on top, then it does work, or at least it seems to in most cases.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I'll just be interested to get some more information on it, because just from, I mean, I do need to get more information, like from people who have really kind of dug into how it works.
Right.
But I mean, I played all of Seiken Densetsu 3 Translate on it, and I mean,
that's pretty good. That is pretty
good.
Yeah,
there was no obvious issues. I tried a little Dragon Quest V, and the text boxes are kind of screwed up in that game.
Erase contents to reuse. Yes, I assume that's saving. It's so weird they call the internal memory the file cabinet in this. It's interesting that this game even has the ability to save to the internal memory, because it came out in the U.S. before there was even internal memory anyways.
In
a system that could be utilized. I think I saw somebody asking what is the difference between this and the Master System version. And this looks a lot better. Some colors of characters are different. And I think that the Master System version only runs at 30 frames per second.
Really? Wow. Yeah,
the scrolling is really, really choppy.
Like, does this one, like, in a lot of cases with the different versions of Wonder Boy games, they treated it like it was unrelated. This one, I don't think they really tried to hide it, as far as I can tell. It's like just the same game with a different name. Like, they don't change the story, they right. don't change any of the characters, to my knowledge. I've never played through the Master System version.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the case. I saw somebody say does the Turbo Booster add memory? Maybe it does. I have no idea.
I tried to, I was just thinking of that last level music that's in a lot of these games.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had such a hard time finding on YouTube the last level music for Monster World 4, which has a very unique twist on that tune, I think.
I wonder if there's a way to use the EverDrive to, because they have the music.
It might be on there. That was how I recorded the Alicia Dragoon music that I used in the episode. I recorded through the sound player on the Genesis EverDrive, and I record something else. I think I might record something from Streets of Rage that I ended up not using. But that I always, like, if I'm going to use Genesis music, I always try to record it from the Genesis itself.
Right.
Other things, I'm not opposed to using a download from somewhere, but like with Genesis, like it just seems like it never sounds quite right unless it's the real thing.
Yeah. It's true. I feel like I'm going the wrong way. The enemies are really strong.
Yeah, you don't have much health. This game is on a Hue card. There's another game that they call, what do they call it? Monster World 2?
No, something? Monster Lair.
Monster Lair, yeah. But it's called... There's like a 2 or a 3 in the title, isn't there? Monster Lair the subtitle?
The Genesis version has the Wonder Boy 3.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but it's a shmup.
Yeah, it's like an auto-scrolling. Yeah, that's got to be the wrong way to go.
A disc-only copy of that actually came with my... PC Engine CD, but it just was in there, but the disc is in pretty rough shape and it wouldn't load past the title screen.
I'm gonna try and go this way. I feel like there's a hidden door there, but there's not. What a great series this is, though.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's kind of, not all of them are Metroidvania style, but a lot of them are, and they're just a really good take on that, and I like sort of the RPG elements of, building up your character, buying the improving your armor and stuff.
I forgot how to use... Is it select that does it? I use the tornado. I wonder how I use it.
But definitely my two favorites are Wonder Boy, Monster World, and Monster World 4.
Yeah, man. Remember when Monster World 4 came out on Virtual Console and you started it immediately after getting home?
Did I? Maybe,
yeah,
I did.
That's one of the few times.
I was pretty excited, I guess.
Yeah. And I played it like as soon as I got home, too. it was a big deal when it came out.
It was, because it was like such a random thing really to have even happened.
Yeah, what you should do though, on that EverDrive, there's the Virtual Console RIP where you can play the official mm-hmm. translation on real hardware now if you want.
Yeah, that's so cool.
That's one of the coolest things about the EverDrive, I think, is like these ROM rips. You know, they did
like,
that with...
like official things that were released for non-native hardware.
Right, like with the Master Quest.
Yeah, that's one of the best examples. But I think the best examples of that are Master Quest and Monster World 4.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw some people talking about earlier, like, it's been talked about so much at this point, but that whole NES Classic thing is insane. Have you been following it at all?
I haven't really been paying that much attention other than it got discontinued and people are just baffled and I'm just kind of like, whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, isn't it just like a crazy thing that's even happening?
You know, I don't think it's that crazy unless they don't either release a new version that's less hackable with a new selection of games in, you know, November or December, or release a Super Nintendo Mini. If they don't do that, then I'll say, sure, that's crazy. But right now, I'm kind of like, I feel like they will do it. Yeah, I mean,
maybe
I feel
release
like
it with different games every year or something.
Yeah, or and you know,
I could see that happening.
I don't think it's that crazy because really, let's face it, it was a toy that was meant to be a hot item for the holidays. That's what it was designed to be. And that's what it was. Granted, not as many people were able to get their hands on it as they should have been, but. You know, I think it was kind of easy to get your hands on for a little while there because a coworker of mine got one and he like wasn't even trying that hard. Like he just did a few weeks ago and he got on Amazon.
That's how you got yours too, right?
Yeah, you told me that it went live and I was just like, ugh.
I guess I'll do it. But now you're probably happy you did.
I don't need this. I don't even really care that much, but I've got this stupid obligation to Nintendo things. I'm like, am I going to regret not having it one day?
And now you're probably happy you got it.
I am happy I got it. Like, honestly, I don't know if I would have gotten it if it were actually possible to find those supposed $10 controllers that they said they were going to release, you know, so I could connect it to a Wii remote.
Yeah,
that was what I wanted. I wanted that so much more than the actual NES Classic itself.
I mean, I wish I had another one.
And I never saw any proof that they ever actually released that.
They do exist.
I don't know. I never saw any proof that they released that. Like, if you search for it, you know, you'll find things that look similar, but they don't have the Nintendo logo on them, and they're released by someone else. And my coworker that got one, he got one, I don't know, maybe it was Interact or something. And he said the left and right is, like, screwed up on it. Like, it doesn't work right.
Huh. I don't know,
but I mean, I'm relatively indifferent to the whole discontinuation thing. I think they're going to release something else in November. I mean, you know, like I say, it was a toy made to make a quick buck in the holiday season.
I can understand that, but I think that. People, they should have released more than like three at a time in stores.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they screwed up, but maybe they're discontinuing it so that they can, you know, start building up stock of their follow-up product for next year. Because I mean, I would guess that the actual hardware wouldn't be that different if they make like a Super Nintendo version or another NES version, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe they'll even do a Game Boy version. Who knows?
That'd be pretty cool, I think.
That actually would be really cool, like especially if it came with like a really simple like dot matrix screen. Yeah. Why? Because it would definitely look better than a real Game Boy screen.
Yeah. Man, this is like...
That would actually be really cool. I would actually be excited about that.
I hope I'm going the right way. This is the only way that I think that there is to go.
I really don't remember a ton about this game, other than like the last transformation was the bird.
Man, the blue ones kill me there. You know, there's almost nothing more like 80s or 90s video game than clouds with sunglasses on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm
trying to think of other examples. I feel like there definitely are. Like, I feel like there's...
Well, it's like a Mario thing. It's like a big... Because didn't they... I thought it was like a...
I think... Isn't there like a Lakitu in like Mario RPG or something that has like a cloud with sunglasses, maybe?
And they're always like the pointy sunglasses, like the angled
ones.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'm thinking of the one in Paper Mario.
That would make
which
sense.
Actually that would be 2000, but yeah, that's a hangover from the 90s.
Yeah, this has got all right. Yeah, I'm going the right way. Better pause it before it's. I have a drink. And the lizard man.
What are all the transformations? Do you remember?
There's, you know, the dragon. There's a little...
There's a mouse, right?
He's just like a little guy. He might be a mouse in some version, in the other version.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe it's a mouse in this one. I don't know. There's the eagle. I feel like there's a fish one, too. I mean, there's got to be a fish one.
I don't know. I don't remember. You know, we've talked a little bit about how we think that the Shantae games have to be pretty heavily inspired by this series.
Yeah. I think it definitely. It'd be cool to be able to confirm that, though.
Yeah, the level layout, and then, you know, this game has the transformations, and...
Just, like, the style of game.
Yeah, the style of game, and even to some extent, I would say just the style of the enemy designs in a lot of ways. Like, just, there definitely feels like some inspiration, I'd say.
Yeah.
Someone's asking if some Bullet Bills wore sunglasses. Man, I can't think of an example, but that definitely seems like a thing that would have happened at some point.
Yeah.
I mean, there are the Bullet Bills, they're only in one level in Mario 3 that they just like flash colors, but they like chase you. Those reappeared in a later game. I want to say it might have even been something like 3D World.
Really?
They looked different. They weren't just flashing. I don't remember what they looked like, though, but I just remember they looked different. But I remember they came back at some point, the Bonsai Bill. Or no, Bonsai Bill is the big one. What are they called? Missile Bill. Missile Bill.
This has got to be the boss. I knew it. It's a pig dragon.
Someone just bought a PVM 9041QM. I don't know anything about that particular model.
Yeah, I've never...
In reality, we don't have like a ton of experience with like that many different models.
Right.
Your little BVM, you've got this little like, what is it, like a 9-inch BVM?
Yeah.
I think it's debut.
Yeah,
right?
It's never appeared in an episode before.
Yeah, well, and I originally asked you for a shop that showed RGB running on one monitor and component running on another monitor as two separate shots, and you said, would this work? And that was actually even more perfect to, like, actually show them on next to each other at the same time. an F-Zero GX, which is like, in my mind, is like the, maybe the premier game that you can play with component cables.
Yeah. And, you know, well, one of the reasons I showed it is because for that BVM, I have, oh, this guy can run on the little guy can run on the ceilings.
I think he's supposed to be a mouse. Because see how, like, there's, like, this dip in the middle? There's, like, the ears?
Oh. I can see it. Yeah, I can see that. Like Mickey Mouse ears?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what were you saying about you've got the 16x9 mask for it.
Yes, I cannot find a 4x3 mask, which is what I really want.
Yeah, because it's going to be more useful for more games.
But it has a 16x9 mask on it, so I thought, you know, this is... F-Zero GX is a good way to...
Yeah.
You know, 16x9 in that game, I can show it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But,
mm-hmm.
you know, the... I forgot what I was going to say. I take off the cover, the actual mask, to shoot it in 4x3.
Yeah, but unfortunately, then it looks kind of weird because it's just the kind of this bare face to the CRT.
Yeah, and it's good to like shoot stuff off of it that way, but generally it's not. I just don't like having that. I don't like doing it that way.
It is really sharp looking though. It almost has this 3D look. Like it's just, it just feels like it pops off the screen.
Yeah,
it's just like so crisp.
And seeing it, like, you know, seeing like interlaced stuff on it looks really amazing too.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I showed that to you when you were here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you showed me some Neo Contra on it.
Oh, right.
I think you might have just had Ryan on it while we were playing Neo Contra. No, I don't think you did, but you showed me when you were testing it out.
I wonder how long this game is.
I remember it taking me a few days to beat.
Man.
Yeah, you can play Monster World 4. It was released like on basically every download service last generation. I mean, I would say the best one would be Virtual Console. I guess specifically.
Well, I mean, it's on PS3. On
actual Wii. Yeah, but doesn't it have like forced borders or I don't know.
Yes, it does have forced borders. I mean, if that kind of thing bothers you.
And I don't know if it has, I don't know, like, the quality of the scaling. I don't know if it's, like, integer scaling or not, or I don't know.
Well, it's M2, so I assume that it's probably pretty good. Oh, man, I gotta get that armor. Gotta get that armor.
What's the difference between curved CRTs and flat CRTs? You know, I used to really be into the idea of flat CRTs, but now, like, I kind of do like that slight curve to it.
Right.
Like, I used to be just really obsessed with the idea.
You can really see the bad geometry on the flat CRT.
Yeah, the flatter screens, like, I think the process of, like, flattening out the CRT image, I mean, I can't claim to truly know the specifics, but I think the process of, like, making that flat makes the geometry worse. It just seems that they're more susceptible to bad geometry. But I used to be so obsessed with the idea because I really was into CRTs, when LCD screens were first, you know, becoming really common because they... At the time, I was not satisfied with the black levels on LCDs. And now I think LCD black levels are really good for the most part, or at least they can be. But, so that was why I got that HD CRT originally, which, you know, I'm not so hot on that sort of thing now. But I love the idea of the flat screens because it just seemed like a more... pure picture, like more how it should be in my mind.
Right, but that's not really the case.
Yeah, I don't, now that the CRTs are definitely retro, I do kind of prefer just a little curve, like the PVMs. The PVMs don't have like this huge curve.
Right.
It's very subtle.
Kind of been struggling whether or not I want to use the curved CRT as like my main, as my consumer CRT that I have in my setup, because I have a curved one and I have a flat screen one.
Yeah, both Toshibas. I've got the flat Toshiba, and I really do like that TV. But there's nothing wrong with that, but I am kind of more on the side of the flat sound. It's funny, you know, and I gotta wonder, you know, if the people making Persona 5 thought about this, and I wouldn't consider this a spoiler. It's just a minor thing that you run into in town, but there's a secondhand shop in town, and when you talk to the owner before you're allowed to actually buy anything, he's trying to sell a CRT, and he says, I just took a picture of the screen, and he says, but who would buy such an outdated TV in this day and age?
Well,
and then when I went back and I bought it, he says, I didn't think anyone would buy such an outdated TV. And so now I've got a CRT TV with a DVD player in my room. I can go to a rental store in Shibuya to rent DVDs.
Really?
Yeah. They will increase my stats.
That's cool. That's cool. It's like celebrating the.
Yeah. You know, well, like Persona 4, you had a CRT in your room, but that like wasn't that weird at the time.
Well,
you know?
That was part of the plot too.
Well, yeah, that is true. That was very much part of the plot in the world that they were making. But that game came out in 2008, and I think it took place in 2009.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? I was just thinking about how there wasn't one on the PS3 at all, except for until this new one, which was released.
Well, I mean, Persona 3 is on PS3 in Japan. I don't know if the PS3 version came out here.
No, there was a PS3 version of it.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was originally going to only be a PS3 game.
You're talking about 5.
Yeah,
5 came out on the PS3 here as well.
But they weren't originally going to bring the PS3 version here, were they?
I have no idea.
But what were you saying? There wasn't going to be what on there wasn't some what on
there
PS3.
Wasn't a mainline game in the series in. I think that's not where I'm supposed to go. I just didn't fight a boss.
Yeah, I mean it took like 9 years for them to release another. Persona 3 and 4 were like 2 years apart.
Wait, 3 and 4 were?
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy, actually.
I think 3 was like 2006, and then 4 was 8, I think. I mean, I didn't get into the series until a few years after 4 released. Like, I didn't think I would really be that into it. Then I got 4, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And then I played the PSP version of 3, which I also loved.
I have not played through 3. I've only played through 4. Only on the Vita.
Yeah, kind of funny to think of. I actually played the PS2 and Vita versions of 4. Kind of weird to think that I played through a game that long twice, like in relatively recent years too, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't realize you played through the Vita version as well.
Yeah, I did both. Yep. But Persona 5 takes place in 20XX, so we don't know how outdated CRTs are.
They're never outdated if you have
That's true.
A reason for them.
That's true. I mean, that's why I said in the Switchers video, I said, SCART is by most standards outdated equipment. It's not outdated to us. Someone's asking, do you need to play through the others to enjoy 4? 4 was kind of the entry point, I think, for a lot of people.
Yeah. And me. I mean, there's some references to 3, I guess, in there. You know, you go and...
Some mild references to 3. But I think all of the Persona games are really pretty self-contained. They take place in the same universe, but there's not a lot of anything that has to do with the characters or plot of previous games.
Yeah.
I mean, 4 was also my entry point, and then I played 3. I haven't played 1 or 2. I understand they're kind of hard to go back to.
Yeah.
But I'm still curious. I wouldn't mind playing them someday.
For a price. You know, they're on the PSP.
I think the second part of 2 didn't get a physical release on PSP, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember.
It was like
Innocent
Sin is the one that came out, I think.
Oh. Right. I don't know if both versions actually came out in the U.S. or not.
I don't know. The music just got like all crazy in this. And like this whole, like, is breaking it down for a second there.
I think 4 is a more accessible game than 3. But a lot of people say that like 3 is hard to go back to after 4, but I didn't think so. The thing with 3, I cannot imagine playing the Persona battle system without having full control over all my characters. And the PS2 versions of 3, you can only give like, you know, general guidelines to your party members for how they act. You can't give full commands, and everything in those games is very much based around targeting enemy weaknesses. And I cannot imagine how it would be very fun to play those without being able to have
the PS2 version of 3 is that like that way, is that way too, right?
Right, that's what I'm saying. 3, oh, okay. There's 2 versions of 3 on PS2, the original version and then like the FPS version. Now, I've not played those. I played the PSP version, which came out. That the PSP version of 3 came out after Persona 4.
Right. Okay.
And it adds the party control, and I really loved that version. You can't run around town like physically. Like everything is kind of this like menu system where you go places, but it's got like the same events.
I have no health left.
It's like, you know, the story and events are, you know, the same as far as I know. I didn't feel like I got like a lesser experience out of the game.
Dead. The level is really long too.
Instead of the running around town stuff, it's more of a visual novel presentation, and then you've got the you've got full running around inside the dungeons. So, but just because of the fact that you can have full control over your party members in battle, I would recommend the PSP version of 3. But then there's nothing wrong with the PS2 version of 4. The Vita version, you know, has some generally good stuff that's added, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that the Vita version is probably generally superior, but there are no real flaws to the PS2 version of 4.
It was nice being able to play it on the Vita because it's such a long game.
And being able to you you were like in New York City and commuting on the subway at the time.
Right. I'm gonna see if I can find any extra hearts here, really quick. Let's see if I missed anything anywhere.
What about Persona 4 Arena? I those games I would not play unless you had played both 3 and 4 because they kind of merge the casts of those games.
You got them just so you can play the story.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a fighting game guy at all, so... And the story wasn't great in those, and, you know, I don't know if it will... Those stories will ever be important, like, right. to the whole... The grander Persona. They were fun. I mean, they were fun enough. Like, I think people generally hate those, but it's like, well, it's like, it's kind of whatever to me. Like, I thought the story was
passable. Good artwork, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of interesting because it was like the same artwork from the PS2, but it was like it was in high res and they had like, you know, like mouth animations and stuff.
That's weird.
I bought, but I've not yet played the dancing game, which I think I get the impression that one is better thought of than the fighting games.
What about Persona Q? Do you have that one?
I do not have that one. I'm curious, but like I don't like the setup for that sounds really weird. Like from what I know about it, supposedly it's canon, but I don't understand how it could be.
What characters are in it?
I mean, I think it's just the cast of 3 and 4 and then like some new characters. But, like, I think it takes place, like, I think the setup for it is it takes place, like, during the school fair or something. And, like, there's, like, something that happens. Like, unless there's some sort of setup where there's, like, no memory of what happened or something. Distortion. I don't know. It sounds really weird. I don't know. I'm curious,
yeah,
though.
I mean, both of those. I gotta save up my money. Get that.
I feel like I would, you know, it's basically built on the what you call it, Etrian Odyssey engine, which I played the first Etrian Odyssey, and I just got through one of the, well, I think they called them Strata.
I don't know, I haven't played it.
You know, just it's a dungeon crawler where you just, you know, go deeper and deeper and deeper. And I feel like I would appreciate it a lot more now than I did at the time. So that's part why I'm curious about Persona Q. But no, I do not have that. I've come close to grabbing it several times, but I never have.
All these spinoffs makes me think of something like Kingdom Hearts. With all these weird names.
Well, it is in a lot of ways kind of similar in the sense that, like, you know, here you've got this series that really kind of caught on. You've got, you know, Kingdom Hearts 1 and Kingdom Hearts 2 that weren't coming out that far apart.
Yeah, hang on one second. I need to look out my window. I just want to make sure. It's like raining really hard. We've had some flooding issues in the basement. And we had some stuff installed to prevent it. I just want to make sure that it's not something I got to be worried about. Hang on, I'll be right back.
Okay. But I was gonna say, you know, Kingdom Hearts, you know, we've kind of got a similar, even more pronounced situation where, you know, 2 came out in I think it was early 2006. And we're still waiting on 3, but it's got these bazillion spinoffs in the middle. Okay. And we're still waiting on 3. Digital Demon series, no, I've not. The only outside of Persona, which I guess is not technically really Shin Megami Tensei, the only Shin Megami Tensei branded games I've played are 4, SMT4, and Digital Survivor or Devil Survivor Overclocked, which I just really couldn't get into either of those. I really liked the concept behind Devil Survivor, but I couldn't quite get into it. I just couldn't. And then 4, I don't know, it just the vibe of the game just didn't really resonate with me. Like, I'm still curious about the SMT series. I've got I've got Tokyo Mirage Sessions for the Wii U, but I have not played it yet.
I have some games in the series that I've just like never played.
I guess I sort of have, you know, I was talking about the monster layer that came with my Turbo CD. There was also I think it was the original SMT.
Really?
The PC CD version. That was also.
That doesn't seem like it'd be fun at all to play.
No. I mean, it's in Japanese. So, I mean, that's kind of, I'm definitely not officially count as part of the collection or the backlog, because I can't play it. It's in Japanese. It's probably, I'm not huge on just like pure dungeon crawlers anyway, so it probably wouldn't really be my thing. I'm not opposed to giving stuff like that kind of a shot, but
I'm just trying to grind some money here.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you gotta do that in these games.
Yep. I need 460, I think. That's doing pretty good, though. Shouldn't be an issue. It's kind of weird this game is letterboxed, the way that it's, or it's kind of, doesn't use the entire screen real estate. It's a weird resolution.
Is that kind of uncommon on TurboGrafx?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, that it kind of, well, you know what I bet it is? I bet it's because a lot of Master System games look like that.
It's possible. I mean, this uses all new assets, though. I mean, they redo everything.
Yeah, but still, it probably made it easier to remake it if they just kept a similar resolution. Because aren't Master System games like typically kind of letterboxed looking?
Yeah, I think so.
You know, that reminds me, I think, Firebrand X just released a, PC Engine profile.
Yes. Yeah.
But I forget what, I'm not positive what he, I, unfortunately I was, you know, I was obviously so busy with the episode, I didn't read the details. Well, he used a Turbo Duo R with an RGB mod, I think,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, with Voltar's mod on it.
With Voltar's mod, so it's going to look just like, it's going to be...
Yeah, I put it on my card. It looks pretty good.
Is that what you're using now?
Well, I whenever I stream, I always use the default, because everything fits the stream window perfectly.
I gotcha.
It's just more convenient that way. I'm just trying to get back to the hospital without using my medicine. There we go.
Oh yeah, I forgot about the Axiom, the Axiom Verge physical copy. Have any details been released on that?
It doesn't have a release date yet.
Who's doing that?
Somebody. He might be. It's kind of like he's doing it himself through somebody. I don't know who the
do we know which systems?
PS4, Wii U. I think that's it.
I'd kind of like to get the Wii U one. I'm just weird like that. Like anything that's like very retro inspired, like I want to get on a Nintendo platform if I can. It just feels more right to me.
Yeah. Well, I can understand that. I feel like more nervous about my Wii U not working one day and never being able to like
fix it.
As well, yeah, it's gonna be more expensive to replace than than a PS4 would. So that kind of
could be. You know, Jimmy Hoppe told me that, you know, because of like how popular Splatoon is in Japan, like, it's more expensive to get a used Wii U than it is to get a used PS4.
That's crazy to think about, too. I'm all powered up now, so I should have
Axiom it. Verge is planned for the Switch, but Nintendo is blocking non-exclusives at the moment. That doesn't sound right, because they did
because Wonderboy comes out on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. And there was also Tuesday. That game called Snake Pass, which looked kind of interesting, and that was also on PS4.
Yeah, it's weird that they would block anything at this point.
Yeah, they aren't in a position to do that.
Does that Snake Pass interest you at all? Because I guess a lot of people are saying it's like a rare game.
It looks like a rare game, yeah. I haven't looked at a ton of it. Like, the most I've really read was Digital Foundry's article, mm-hmm. which was saying that, like, you know, hey, yes, you can see where they made cuts in visual cuts for the Switch version compared to PS4, but it actually runs really well. So I think it was John that wrote it, actually, that, and he was saying that the Switch version held up very well. But in that case, I would probably get the PS4 version, but it does interest me. But it's just, you know, it's that whole physical copy thing, man. It's just like, I've got so many games to play.
Yes.
That, like, unless it's just like an absolute necessity, like you're kind of talking about the remake of this. Like, man, I'm just going to wait and hope a physical copy comes out. And then when those do come around, then, like, I prioritize them because I worry that they'll become rare. Or in the case of Limited Run, like, it's, you already know that you've got one shot.
Right.
So I kind of prioritize those, you know, little indie games when that happens. That's... You know, it doesn't really have anything to do with me having some vendetta against digital games. I mean, I will certainly buy and play digital games. You know, I played Phoenix Wright 5 and 6. I mean,
right.
I sure as heck wish that they had physical releases, but still, I wanted to play those games, obviously, so I did. But I get really lazy about ever getting around to playing them because... It's just there's so many other games to play, and it's just like, I know I don't have time for it, and
yep, that's,
and so
that's the curse of doing this YouTube stuff.
Yeah,
you know, I don't think it's tough to be able to like play stuff like and you know when you finally do play this stuff, I always just like focus on it only and like. Try not to like pay attention to social media or anything like that.
Yeah.
And we got more questions about this episode, like through like private messages and on Facebook and everything. And it's just,
oh yeah.
Yeah. And in the last 2 days, and it's just, I want to respond to stuff, but sometimes it's just like, oh man, I have to finish writing this script. I can't, like, I'm in this zone, so I just gotta, like, focus on that. I mean, I feel bad not responding to people, like, right away.
I don't pay much attention to those. I mean, you're kind of more focused on those. But I answered a bunch of questions as much as I could on just the normal comments. But it is nice, though, like, when I just, like, play, like, modern games are my, like, escape now.
Yeah,
it's a funny thing to think about, but they are, and I love just like putting my phone aside, maybe not even having my computer powered on,
yeah,
and just playing something on PS4 or whatever, like, you know, that I'm kind of planning to do a lot of that the next few weeks with Persona 5. I mean, just totally just binge on it, which, I mean, it's, you know, we need that every now and then.
Yes, we do.
But, you know, you actually went on a pretty good spat of beating games, you know, a month or so ago.
That was back in January. I thought it was recent,
we both of us beat Zelda like pretty quickly.
I know, but that was like only because of our trip. Really.
Right. But I mean, we both put like around 70 hours into it. You know, and I think it was also in a large part just a testament to how good the game was. Like, we just could not stop playing.
Yes. I've thought about going back to it again. I
would have loved to have done more in it, but frankly, if I had, then you all would not have a Switchers episode right now.
Pretty much. And that was the biggest gap between episodes we've ever had, and it's
ever.
Ever.
It was 1 month. It was 4 weeks.
That's pretty severe.
Yeah, I'm disappointed about it. But I mean, there wasn't much we could do. I mean, it took a long time to write the script. Yeah. And a long time to shoot and edit. You know, I don't think. You know, I cannot really imagine, like, the only other thing that I can really think of that would be that complex and also that long would be, you know, and even this might not be that long, but it would be complex is like the CRT geometry thing.
Yeah.
Which we hope when we get to that, maybe we can do something special with it. But, like, I just can't imagine too many other topics that are just that difficult.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like, you know, it was kind of interesting with this episode because, you know, a lot of times with episodes you're kind of burnt out toward the end, and I was in some ways, but I think in this, if it even makes sense to put it this way, I was like burnt out in the beginning. Like I just could not get going. Like it was very difficult for me this time, just getting motivated with it. And then, like, I think, like, in the last several days, like, it was more like when the light was at the end of the tunnel that, like,
I mean, you did a lot of things you said to kind of like amuse you a little bit more in this one.
Yeah, I do feel like there were more like funny, silly little,
like the Hydra thing and
like the Bomberman thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, there were some silly little things like that that were kind of, you know, just fun things I wanted to do. I feel like there was more of that in this episode than like most, maybe. And I think some of that, like when I feel like when I really felt revitalized was like when I did the opening for the Extron section.
Yeah.
But like what I did for that was I took this little spotlight that I have that I normally use for like that warm glow in the background, like on the back of the wood panel.
Holy cow. Sorry, these enemies, like, I cannot hit them. I'm gonna be fighting this boss with not as much health as I'd like. Again.
But what I did for that Extron intro, I took the warm bulb out and I put one of my normal
cool
bulbs. Huh?
I just heard my computer went boop-loop, and it looks like my game froze on here, but not my actual game. It's like my
Oh, did your capture card like disconnect?
I don't know. That'd be weird if that happened, wouldn't it? I thought it was something else, but hang on, let me try this. It's troubleshooting time. Where's my...
Is the stream still going? Yeah, we're still going.
All right, let me just figure out.
What were we talking about?
Oh, hey, hang on. Here we go with this. I'll get it back. As far as I know, hang on. Come on. There we go.
Good.
Yeah, we're good. I don't know what the deal with that was.
What were we talking about? Something about the episode.
I don't remember.
It was something about the episode. Oh yeah, the Extron intro with the lights.
Right.
So I took that spotlight and I put it on my turntable and I turned off all the other lights and all I did was just like have that spin around and then I sped up the whole turn to just like last the length of the beats.
Yeah, you sped up, slowed down. Yeah, makes sense. I mean, it's...
And I don't really know how that idea popped in my head.
You know like, what it made me think of, kind of? When you first turn on a Wii, and the monitors kind of flash on.
When on you the, turn on a Wii?
On the Wii and, like, on the home screen.
Uh-huh. Yeah. They do this, like, pass.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I don't know. Like I originally wanted to do, like I was kind of just going to, like, copy how, like, you introduce PVMs and 104, but, like an Extron does not have an interesting shape.
Yes.
And so I still wanted to do this, like, reveal from the shadow. And then, like, I was like, oh, maybe I can do something interesting with the light. Oh, you did good on that boss.
I know, I killed him. Crushed him.
Oh, you're a fish man now.
I'm a fish man. Fish man.
But yeah, so that was fun. And then, like, the next day, like, I made that, like, the very end of a day of work. And then the next day, like, I don't know if that just inspired me, but, like, I made way more progress than I expected to. And then I kind of just, like, I was just feeling it after that. So, yeah, it was weird. I was, like, feeling better at the end of this edit than I was at the beginning.
Well, it was very well put together. I mean, it was a lot more interesting than it read. It was visually a lot more interesting than it read.
There's like 5 shots of plugging a SCART cable into the OSSC.
Did you shoot them all at once?
No, because I didn't. Because I've kind of made it my method now where I shoot a section and then I edit the section.
Right.
And so I didn't know what shots I was going to use in all the other sections. So I write my shots. I write them out by hand. And then I'll like draw like a little circle next to each one. Then I fill it in as I make the shots. I don't know why. That's just kind of become my method. And so I just I saved the sort of general tip section for last because I figured there was a good chance I could use a lot of B-roll that I maybe ended up not using. Because when I do stuff like if I do like those turntable shots or whatever, you know, sometimes I overshoot those. Like I just kind of shoot a bunch of random shots.
Mm-hmm.
And so for that section, I was like, well, I bet I can use a lot that I didn't use elsewhere. I had a really, really hard time with the bandridge section.
Just doing it or what?
No, I had a hard time. I actually did the bandridge section.
Listen, I don't want to hear it. If you didn't have to say bandridge switchers over and over again.
Well, you didn't have to say super G over and over again.
That seems a lot easier than bandridge switchers.
You would think Super G would be easy, but if you say Super G a bunch of times, just Super G, Super G,
Super.
I just couldn't do it anymore. But, what was I saying? But I did the bandage switcher section kind of later, and I had a hard time capturing footage. Like, you know that shot of Wild Arms 3 that's in the opening section?
Right.
And there's a shot of Jack and Daxter in the ending.
Mm-hmm.
The origin story of those examples was what I was doing. When I was capturing footage with the bandage section, I kept recording from the wrong ones. And then when I realized, oh, I was plugged into the wrong bandage.
Oh, because, right.
So then I'm like, well, I'll just relegate that to
for that
my
segment.
Miscellaneous sections.
Right.
So that's what, like, so the ending, the ending and the opening were just kind of homes to footage that didn't have a place elsewhere.
Yeah.
But there were also a ton of like specific shots I needed for those sections. So that was kind of like my last day and a half or so was like getting stuff for like the opening specific shots for like the general tips, the general switcher info and tips section.
Yeah. Can we talk about my footage? My camera footage. So for those who don't know, I was able to upgrade my camera, and my on camera stuff that was shot for this was not using that, but I shot a whole bunch of B roll with it, and it's awesome. It's awesome.
Yeah, I've got the Panasonic GH4, and then the GH5 came out maybe 3 weeks ago.
Like a month ago, I think.
And, yeah, so now your footage is going to match mine pretty closely.
Yeah.
We're both going to shoot most of our footage in 4K, which we added on 1080p timeline. So when you see like really, really tight shots of stuff, or you see us do like sort of a zoom in or a zoom out or something, you know, that's because we're shooting in 4K and editing in 1080p. So we've got this ability to do all this
extra resolution
and editing and stuff. It just makes a huge difference. And not only that, just in 1080p, the footage just looks a lot crisper anyway,
right?
Regardless.
And you see it, you know, like I was watching, you know, that shot where you show my setup towards the start of it. And I'm like, oh, wow. You know, like it looks really good.
Well, there's this. And the other thing that you did is you put some wood paneling up in your yes. little studio area, too. So and it's the same wood paneling from Lowe's that I've got.
Right.
So like
all our stuff's like a consistent look.
The most obvious like the thing people are gonna have to look out for to tell whether it's your footage or my footage is like the ring on the finger is your footage.
Right, pretty
it's
much.
It's like the only difference now.
I don't know, you know, well, my arm's a little is less hairier than yours.
Okay. But
well, I mean the hair on my arm is blonde.
We're both well the hair on my arm is blonde too, but we're both pale white guys. But like it's gonna be a lot harder. Like it's kind of funny because the section where we explain how to cut the trace on the bandage switcher,
right? That was
like
shot on mine. Like I got shot. Yeah. Well, I mean the knife.
The blade is your shot, but. Yeah. All the other shots are my shots shot on my wood table against, you know, in some of the shots, I think in the background have the, might have the wood paneling in that segment, but they're all my shots. And then you've got this knife come up on the wood panel background, but I didn't have a utility blade. I thought I did, but I don't seem to have
that
one.
That was my wife's actually.
But you would have never known that those shots were not shot in the same place.
Yep. You know, it's maybe we take a little bit too seriously, but I feel like I've gone through a lot of steps to make sure that our stuff matches in the last month and a half.
I'm just checking out this fishman's walk. I'm really paying attention to it now, and I'm really into it.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. Did I not say anything about it? Because it's hilarious, I think. It's like he's fencing, kind of.
He's just like his legs, like you have to bend his legs. They just go in and out. It's like I'm just really
paying attention, and I'm kind of into it.
I am really into it. It's great.
Just because it's so silly.
Yeah. I wish we could keep a save of this game with this guy on it. And I feel like
I could.
I feel like he could become a new thing.
Yeah, I'll make a separate save for him then. In the file cabinet.
You know, even old Karnov made an appearance. You were sure to get him in here.
Yep. How did you do that one shot where I showed it and I forgot to turn off the stuff on the side of my PVM, like the lights?
Oh, the Dead or Alive?
Was it the Dead or Alive? It was Karnov, I thought, that you could see him flashing.
Oh, Karnov, I just zoomed in.
Okay.
But Dead or Alive,
I feel like maybe you fixed it, but you may have just taken a freeze frame and cut out the middle.
I drew a mask.
Yeah.
I took a freeze frame and drew a mask around the screen.
That's what I assumed.
So that, to clarify what we're talking about, is on the PVM 20L5, it's got these lit up buttons on the sides, and they don't sync up to 60 hertz. Like, they flicker if you're shooting.
They're like 30 hertz. Because I got that one close-up shot of it.
Really? I don't know what syncs up to them.
But I had to use the sync scan. It was like, you had to be down to like 30 to get it solid.
That's really weird. I feel like that's like so slow that you would like see the strobing on them.
Maybe it's just the material that they're behind makes it like less... parent.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, so those lights, they flicker. So there's a control button on the 20L5 that you can actually turn those lights off. And I try to remember to turn those off if I'm going to be showing the full frame of the PVM in the shot. And Corey forgot to do that, but he had it synced up to the screen. Well, I think there was a refresh line in that shot, but it's like, it's harder to see the refresh line on 480p stuff.
Yes.
Like, when you're trying to sync up to it, like, it's harder to, like, tell that you're, like, dialed in.
And each system's the same. We should probably make a master list.
Of, like, what the refresh is?
Yeah, so that we can just dial it in.
Like, the easiest ones are, like, Genesis and Master System. Like, those are, like, here. I think those are, like, dead on, like...
Right on 60.
Right on. Well, I think they're just straight up NTSC, so it's like...
Well, the NES is like 60.01 or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually more like... I think you go into the 60 end, like it's 60.0 it shows, but you're like on the high end because there's like two clicks within it.
Okay.
I think it's like... Yeah, or that's the best place to sync up to it anyway.
I'll make a separate save with this guy.
Yeah.
In the file cabinet.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah. That's good. It's good. It's good.
But,
how do I get down there? I feel like I need to get down here.
But yeah, so anyway, I just took a freeze frame of the shot, and then I put it up on top as another layer, and then I drew a mask around it so that it was the only moving part of the frame was the monitor.
I see. That's kind of what I thought you were going to do. Because I knew that there was a way you'd just be able to work around it, you know?
Also, if you want to get rid of the moiré pattern, I find that a Gaussian blur between 4 and 6, like, just gets rid of it in most cases.
You mean the effect on it? Like in Premiere, like an effect in Premiere?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
If you're watching full screen 1080p, you won't really see it, but if it's like playing at any other resolution or if it's windowed in YouTube or something, you will see it 4A. So I've been doing that on a lot of my PVM shots. I've been, sometimes it won't, like, I find that with, if there's something white in the shot, sometimes it makes more of, like, there's, like, a natural, like, rainbowish moiré pattern that's just, like, kind of burned into it. And you can't really get rid of it.
I see. Yeah, it's not perfect, and you know, you said,
but I do what I can.
How it has those dots to show if something's like in focus.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And you know, I wasn't thinking about. It makes it really easy to, when we lift up stuff in front of the camera,
to tell whether you're at the right distance.
Yes.
Oh yeah, I leave those dots on all the time. They're super helpful.
I made mine red though.
Oh, I don't know. You could do that.
There's also green. You can make them green, but it doesn't. It's harder to see, I thought. The red and blue seem to be the best ones.
I'll stick with blue because that contrasts better, I would say, with the wood panel and the wood desk.
Right. But I didn't realize, you know, that it would be so, you know, convenient for something like that. I don't know where I'm supposed to be going. I don't know if I'm just like doing something wrong.
It's got to be somewhere underwater.
Yeah, I know, but I feel like I've seen everything that there is to see underwater. Man, I can't wait till we can tell everybody about this project that we're working on. You know what I mean? It's been, like, excruciating not being able to, like, tell people.
I meant to say in that little Patreon video log I did, I meant to say, like, you know, hey, we might be able to reveal what that is, like.
Well, you said it. You said that. You know.
Oh, did I say that? Okay.
Yeah, you said, you know, maybe at the time you're watching this, you already know what it is.
So I haven't seen the comments on that. So you said people thought that was pretty fun?
Yeah. I mean, it did pretty good. You know, it was like 60 views, I think. A lot of comments on Patreon about
it. For a Patreon video, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Did we get a chance to say on stream that we crossed $1,000 a month on Patreon?
Which is, no, we never said it. That was like, that was our set milestone.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we need to come up with new milestones now. Yeah, that was our milestone where we were saying, you know, at this point we feel comfortable and just sort of generally promising more documentary type stuff per year when we're over $1,000 on Patreon.
And that's why it's good that this is actually coming up.
We're already working on one, which I think this episode 2 is kind of going to make it even easier for us to get more stuff later this year, because we're kind of going to be, it's really going to stand out, I think, and we're going to be able to use it to pitch to people.
Yeah.
And we've actually already been in talks with at least one or two other people that we're pretty confident that we could get something done on this year.
That person will be in this episode, and I think that people that follow different gaming scenes might think it's pretty neat that this person is in the video.
Yeah, I think people are gonna be surprised. I think we should keep that secret.
Oh yeah, we're keeping everything has to be a secret.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I mean, once I think it should be a secret the up green, until the episode green. Releases.
Door with a green lock. Did because I already?
I think it's going to be really
back
random.
Back in the town?
People are not going to expect
what it is. Yes. Well, I mean, because the game hasn't even been announced yet.
Right, right, right. But people are not going to expect that we had involvement in it. That you're talking about.
Yes.
Is going to be in it. Like, I think people.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Actually see that. Like, I don't think we should say anything about that. Like, when people are just gonna be like, what? Like, yeah. That's just like out of the blue.
Yeah.
But I think people are gonna think it's cool.
It's a mini documentary. It has three different interviews edited together for people that if it could be up to $2,000 a month if you'd sell your going on.
Well, but I can't, you know, I definitely want to do a episode about like soundtrack CDs, and I can't sell it until I do that. I'm thinking about shooting that this summer. So I've actually like I've kind of got like my episodes planned out in my head like through August. And I've never actually really stuck to that much of a long-term plan.
Yeah, I mean, we try to.
Right now, I actually feel fairly confident that I really am, like, that. Those are going to be the episodes I'm going to be doing.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see if that actually happens. But, because it's always like something comes up, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we got to do this. But right. I actually feel fairly confident. I don't know whether I should be or not, but I feel fairly confident that I'm actually going to do the episodes between now and August that I am planning to do when I am planning to do them.
Well, I guess. I mean, after this deck, I'm going directly into Saturn RGB.
Man, I have no idea how long to expect that to be.
Yeah, I'm excited to do it though.
It's something that I think might be helpful for that, if maybe anyone wants to just send us messages on Twitter or something, like just talk about like just some issues maybe that you've run across with Saturn or specific games or anything, because I know that there can be like a lot of like sync issues with Saturn and stuff, but you know, it might be helpful if maybe you could give us some specific examples or specific come examples on. Of general issues you've run into.
Get out of there. What is this? Come on.
Oh no, you fell in the lava.
I know.
It's rough.
Alright. I made it. I don't think this is the way I'm supposed to be going. But let's find out. It just seems overly hard. It, like, the volcano place doesn't seem like something you'd do something with the merman at. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Matt in the chat says, Saturn problem of mine is glittery screen. Is that anything you've heard of?
No.
See, that's what I feel like. I feel like there's going to be like a lot of very specific Saturn problems that we have not personally encountered. Mm-hmm. And that's why I suggest that. Like, just it might be helpful if people could just like inform us about issues that they have had. And even more helpfully, if those are issues that you have resolved, you can tell us out, you know, what causes that issue. You know, things like that. I know that there has been talk of, you know, Saturn 1 versus Saturn 2. And I've heard conflicting information over whether there's really a difference or not. You've got both models.
Right.
But you have
and
not,
I have a Japanese like, model, too.
You have not super thoroughly analyzed them.
Right. But I mean, there's other models as well, you know, like the Japanese ones. But I think that for the most part, I'll be okay with just the two, the three that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And yours, you know, in case there's any like little differences we got to keep an eye out for.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's a... you know, like the Victor Saturn and stuff like that. But those are just...
But that's out of reach unless someone has one and they want us one less borrow one.
Yeah. I mean, that's essentially what it comes down to is, I mean, we got to borrow stuff. We got to borrow, like, stuff. If anybody has anything that they want to lend us for the episode, we are more than happy to borrow
and if it, and we'll, it, you know,
cover shipping and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. That offer is always open. If someone has like something really unusual that you think would be super cool for us to show in a specific episode, like weird Saturn models.
Yeah.
Absolutely, that offer is always available. We'll reimburse you for shipping to us, and you know, just let us know how long we have with the hardware before we have to send it back to you.
Can you look up where I'm supposed to go?
Just, like, basically, the last step was get Fishman, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Just, like, where the next area is.
Sure.
I realize that, like, my I'm like so low in the frame here. Just my head is like peeking up over the. You can see like so much of the ceiling here. This game has a pretty good soundtrack, I have to say. All these games have good soundtracks.
Okay, you'll become Piranha Man.
Piranha Man.
Labyrinth. Drop down to the left side. You have two places to go. The coast, which advances the game, or the desert volcano, which is necessary to beat the game, but doesn't need to be done right now.
Okay. I'm not going to do that now. Okay, so that I can go to the coast.
I guess that's what advances the game.
Okay, what do I do at the coast, though?
Apparently there's a sewer somewhere. Town. Head to the tower that takes you to the desert. Do not enter the tower, but rather jump onto the checkered blocks in front of it and climb downward, clean onto the left side. Break the block and drop into the water.
How do you break the block?
I don't know. Are you lacking an ability?
Yeah, I mean, if I could break the blocks, it'd be one thing.
Oh, well, the desert volcano, you get an ability that lets you... You get the Thunder Saber, which lets you destroy breakable blocks.
Okay, I'm just going to do that then. I'll go to the desert.
This guide says you don't have to do the volcano now, but he acts like he strongly recommends that you do.
Okay. Just got to take it slow. Do I go to the desert volcano and go right, right? Is that what it says?
I guess. I mean, isn't that the only direction you can really go?
Well, the other way was where I went for the, well, maybe not. Can you look to see if I, it's not a waste of my time going.
Head back to the place in the volcanic region where you bought the dragon mail. Keep that dragon mail on because you're about to trudge straight through the lava.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. It's dragon. I gotta buy it? I don't have it. Unless it's the ivory mail.
Calls it dragon mail. This is the dragon's curse fact.
Well, let's see what happens. I'll go this way, see what happens. Maybe I died here before. I don't know. I can't remember if I went this way before or not. I can't remember an hour and a half ago.
Oh, through this desert going left?
Yeah.
I definitely remember you going through here.
Yes, okay.
I don't remember if you went all the way, but I do remember you fighting these enemies.
Can you look up where I get... Oh, look at that. Interesting. I fell in between, like, the antlions there, and...
Oh?
Now I'm, like, in water.
Well, that sounds right up your alley.
Yeah. I don't know if I can skip everything. I don't know. I don't, you know, if the game is released like early on Tuesday, I should like stream it. Do like a bonus stream in the afternoon doing it.
Yeah, why not?
What's your schedule like on Tuesday? Besides Persona. Persona.
I will probably have to go into work for a little bit in the afternoon, but Otherwise, probably just played Persona. That's what my schedule is tomorrow. I'll tell you that.
Oh, there's a door right here. Let's see if this goes. Is this a heart? No, it's just more money.
People are talking about GameCube plug-and-play solutions. We're definitely interested. Like, once that's pretty settled, like, I feel like with that, like, that's not something we really want to be... like, I don't know how much on the early end of that we really need to be.
Yeah, well, we were already on the really early end, probably too early.
Too early, yeah. And I kind of don't want to make a mistake, I feel like, with those. Like, I really want to make sure that the versions of that that get put out there, like, you know, kind of have the approval of tech people and, you know, and that they're pretty settled on, like, how they're going to be made and they're well made and stuff before we do a big video on that stuff. Like, I really kind of want that. When we make a video on that, what we talk about, I want it to be like, yeah, these are the solutions, and they're very good and very viable solutions.
I think it's going to be the ivory armor that I need.
Chocolate Guy says our Game Boy RGB video is his favorite video on YouTube. that was definitely a marathon. But, you know, like, I feel like that video, like, I stayed more positive through the production of that than most videos, just because...
You're excited about it, too.
Oh, I was excited about it. Like, I felt like I was... Like, it was, I felt like I was making this.
Do you feel like you feel the most proud of that video than any other video I've ever done?
I think so. I would definitely say yes if it wasn't for that one tiny mistake I made in it, which was that I said that there are no color options for 3DS Virtual Console.
Right.
And it turns out that there is. I think you hold R and L and then hit X, and then you can flip between a grayscale and a green scheme. One mistake. But yeah, I during the production of that, I felt like I was...
You're making something special.
I felt like I was making something special, like this really crazy, over-the-top thing that no one else had ever attempted to do before. Rare Foil says, funny, the reason I'm not jumping on plug-and-play is the same reason you guys have. Wait on approval from a higher power. You. Well, wait until our higher powers give approval, and then we'll give our approval.
Yeah.
Which, you know, a lot of people on the forums and stuff and all, they know more about, like, good design of, like, the product and stuff. You know, like, for example, I think some of the issues... I think I'm thinking of the right thing. Like, I want to say some of the issues with, like, the early Hydra, like, some people had some criticisms of it, and I think he went and revised, like, how certain aspects were designed.
Right.
And I think the same thing is happening with that, what's his name, Zelda X Pro?
Right.
I think that's making that one plug-and-play option. You know, I think the same thing happened where I think people said that, oh, that's going to put too much pressure on something or other, and so, you know,
can
we
you
don't
find,
know about
can you
that
look
stuff.
Up where I'm supposed to find
Dragon Armor?
Yeah.
Dragon Armor.
I don't want to waste my time.
This one. Makes it look like it makes it sound like it is in the volcano.
Oh, maybe I missed it.
like early on, it says. Or, I mean, not early on the volcano, but I think maybe he expected that you would have done this. He expects that you would have done this during the Mouse Man section.
Oh, I wonder if that's... You can't change it in another back into another form, can you?
I don't know.
All right, well, you know what? I'm just going to... So I got to go to the coast. I'm just going to go to the coast. Wasting everybody's time tonight. The TurboGrafx is hooked up with an RGB circuit from Voltar's mod shop.
Well, we've also got the engine block.
Yeah.
From well, I guess like the full thing in the shell comes from Stone Age Gamer, but the basic internals are made by DB Electronics.
Right. Who we should really have on the stream sometime soon.
Oh yeah.
And then we can claim to have had the entire Retro Roundtable on our show at some point. Cuz he's the only one that we're missing.
Absolutely. Yeah, that'd be fun. We can play more PC Engine stuff.
Right.
Thankfully, I ended up kind of accidentally with a spare, just like base PC Engine. So I can still like test out the engine block on that. Actually, though, it doesn't even matter because I'm having my PC Engine interface unit RGB modded. The PC Engine itself is only being modded for region free.
Oh, okay.
So
you can really do either one.
Right, the RGB mod is going in the interface unit itself. So, yeah, I can. All I have to do is pop the PC Engine out, and I can use the graphics booster or the engine block.
I feel like I don't know where I'm supposed to go. It seems like I just go in that door, but it just takes me outside of the water. Doesn't make any real sense. Doesn't make any sense. That's like one of my things. I've always thought about the voice acting in the in Lunar 2.
Mm-hmm.
There's this one line. I don't know. You ever have those lines in a game that that sticks with you for so long?
Yeah.
And there's this one line in Lunar 2 where Hero, the main character, goes, "But Lucia, you're not making any sense."
me and my roommate in college had just like a bunch of random lines from games that like we just latched onto for some reason. You know, like Dragon Quest VIII, you know, there was that one guy who was like, "Welcome to the land of the moon shadow." There was another one from Suikoden 4. Like early on in the game, there's this pirate who he goes, "I guess I can play for a little while." It was just like just these like totally random, like not even like good quotes or anything, but we just like latched onto those for some reason.
Yeah.
And just said them all the time. Oh man!
Well, I'm sure I have more. I can't think of any off the top of my head.
Yeah, there had to have been more. You know, that was like, you know, when I was in college, was like in the middle of like the Lord of the Rings movies coming out, and you know, so you know, we would, you know, spout all sorts of, you know, Gandalf this and that, you know.
Yeah. Gandalf.
You know,
he says it.
Gandalf.
man, I don't know where I'm supposed to go. I'm missing something. It's gotta be easy, too. It's gotta have something to do with this thing. I don't know where I'm supposed to go. Will you look up there to see where I'm supposed to go? Just so it's gonna drive me crazy if I don't.
At
the coast.
I don't know. I don't see that part. Like he skips.
Oh, the arrows shoot directly.
Oh, here's the coast. Deep sea. Destroy blocks. You gotta be able to get that thing where you can destroy the blocks. But I guess it's probably too late to actually get it now. I think it's in the jungle, though.
I'm sure that's how it is.
Yeah. You know what? The remake is probably going to make it a lot more clear.
Yeah, probably.
So maybe you can do that on Tuesday.
Maybe. I mean, maybe I can do it like on Tuesday afternoon. But would people in the chat like think it would be okay? I mean, you think it'd be okay if I streamed on the actual channel here? Or should I do it on my personal?
Can always do it on the B-roll channel.
That's what I was thinking too. Make it stream over there too.
If anyone's not aware, we have a side channel called Video Game B-roll where we're just uploading just commentary free RGB recordings and HDMI recordings and VHS rips. All of our VHS rips that except for the Pokemon one that we did for. Our VHS tapes.
Listen,
the full tapes are there.
Did you know?
Okay.
Did you know that there's 151 Pokemon?
There's 151 one of those little things or whatever it is she says.
Did you? There's 151 Pokemon.
It's so funny because like that number must have sounded crazy back then, and now it's like 700. Something.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It did seem like a lot, really.
It did at the time,
and it's really hard to get them all. I think everyone was on equal ground at the time. That's probably what
was
so much fun then. I'm just gonna try to get this thing. Pokemon.
But yeah, that tape unfortunately was
like, it's funny because, you know, at the time when that video came out, I remember playing in at the Electronics Boutique.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, like when the game was about to come out, and now, you know, like I was 18 at the time, and it was whatever. But now I kind of watch that, I'm like the mom is pretty good looking. at the time, I would never even, like, you know, it's like, oh, it just like, it's like a, you know, it's a mom. But now I'm like, oh, let's just. It's just, you know, it's. Can't get the man. I don't know what these, the stones that I get, what they do.
They look like they would recharge like a magic meter or something, but you don't seem to have it.
There it goes. There I go. Actually, I have two things now, though. It only gives me one. I gotta be real close, though.
No, Corey's talking about the. Actually, I think it's supposed to be Ash's aunt. It's like the live action actor that's playing it in the VHS tape. He's not talking about Ash's mom in the show.
No. Can't buy this thing. It's $300, but it just shows up as a question mark. Let's see what this
is. Oh, you don't know what it is? You should just buy it. You've got money.
No, it won't let me.
Why not?
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know, Ray.
I don't know. Drinking the whiskey out of the yeah. paper bag.
You know, all of those blocks in this game, that they're like, they've got like, they're like those four triangles together making a box.
This is like,
they look just like Mario 3.
I'm done. I'm done for the night. It's garbage.
All right. I'll be interested to know if the remake offers any extra guidance or if it's like 100% faithful, because like you can switch to the original version at any time.
I don't know. The store, when you go into a store, it's like not a first person view type thing anymore either. It's kind of like a side view. It's kind of cool.
Oh, someone in the chat saying you'll need to farm up, I think, 50 stones to buy that as a fish man. So the stones count as money in some cases?
Ah, interesting.
Huh. Well, I'm sure a lot more people are going to know what to do in this game starting next
week.
Yeah,
if they get it on Tuesday, they're going to have an idea. It doesn't have an unwinnable scenario. It's just more time consuming doing certain things, I guess.
Oh, because you moved on from the old your old form.
Yeah.
That is like an odd sort of game structure, I think. Like where you get these transformations, but it's interesting. I don't think it's a bad structure, but it is definitely interesting that you like only have your limited time as each of those forms.
Yeah, I bet you can change forms later on. You can maybe choose from any of them.
Oh, the stones are like a thing that makes the store owners like you or something?
Yeah, charisma points, it looks like. Interesting. Huh.
I certainly don't remember that. I mean, it was like, this probably came out on Virtual Console, I would guess, in 2007, maybe?
Maybe, yeah.
So, I mean, it's probably been 10 years since I played it.
The remake of this and Wonder Boy 3 comes out on Tuesday. Called Wonder Boy the Dragon's Trap.
But I think it follows that specific version, Dragon's Trap, the Master System version. Right. I think it follows it a little more closely.
Yeah.
2 hours to get those stones.
It ruined my 10th birthday. That's... I'm sorry.
It's harsh.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever. You know, at least I have the Fishman saved in the file cabinet for future use.
Yeah, I know. That's going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
That's going to be fantastic. I'm excited. It's going to be a thing now.
Yeah. So anything else you want to share about the new episode? We want to share about anything that's going on? Like what is the state of things? You don't want to think about anything for a while.
Yeah, I just want to think about Persona right now. I can't think of anything specific to say about the episode that we haven't already talked about, but yeah, I mean, right now I'm planning to do next. Kind of going to be working on two episodes at one time. I'll be working on, or in May, I'll be working on an episode for just to cover just two EverDrive alternatives. We might look at more down the road if we come across some interesting ones, but for now, I'm just going to look at two. So Think of like a EverDrive alternatives number one, and it's going to just have two particular ones.
Yeah.
And then, also I'll be doing a game focused episode for a small series that just has two games. And one of those will release in May and one will release in July or in June. That's my current plan. And then in July, when I'm back from vacation and we're back from too many games, July is full force, PS2 RGB, which might not even be all that crazy. I don't know. I mean, what if it's under 20 minutes? What if that actually happens?
Come on. Could that happen? Come on. There's no chance of that happening.
Well, we'll see.
I think that even if it's under, you think it's going to be under 20 minutes, I think that we have started putting enough stuff in these episodes that it has like some, like so much extra value added stuff.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And then, yeah, we'll see. And obviously we're going to be sort of trying to get in a few more documentary things.
Yeah.
You know, we'll just,
it's going to be so cool to see the reception to this thing. I mean, yeah, I see, 8-Bit Gnosis is saying like, are we adding any goals to our Patreon since we hit our current one? We'll see what the reception is like for this upcoming documentary, because, you know, if it's something that like will
people want to
like,
see more of.
Yeah, I mean, obviously like we're committed to doing more anyways, but the different stuff that we'll be able to do, like different equipment and stuff, get different kind of shots for certain things. Yeah.
I feel like, you know, right now, like we've got a bunch of different show types that we do, and we just do those because we want to do them. But like really, like RGB episodes are like the main pillar to our channel right now.
Yeah.
And lots of other things that we do well, but RGB is definitely the main pillar. And I feel like this episode that you're working on is kind of going to firmly establish that like RGB and documentaries are like our two main pillars.
Yes. And this, you know, if it goes over well, it could really open up some opportunities. You know, I mean, we really look up to, you know, the kind of stuff that Danny O'Dwyer is doing with Noclip, and being able to do stuff like that for retro games is something that'd be kind of a dream come true for us.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, really the sort of stuff that we envisioned when we started the channel, but almost on a way beyond the level that I think at the time we imagined ourselves getting into.
Right. And Final Baton, whatever, is saying that we don't always have to do RGB episodes. And we don't.
We don't.
No. We don't, you know. But we realize that at this point in time, a vast majority of our subscribers,
like, that's their favorite thing.
Yeah, that's their favorite thing. And we like doing them, you know, and it's cool being able to make them. And, you know, we love that community. We love, the more time that we've spent in that community since getting into this stuff, you know, just really, we really enjoy it. So, I mean,
yeah,
there'll be no shortage of those coming along. But if we can establish ourselves as like doing documentaries on retro games,
and RGB and all the other little things that we do that we just do because we want to do them. Mm-hmm. You know, there's lots of episodes that we've done, you know, like this one game focused episode that I'm talking about working on next month. They'll probably get 10 or 12,000 views. I don't care. Like, I just want to do it.
Yeah. I think it's important. I think it's really important to do, you know, we always view the kind of game based episodes as kind of like as a break in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
When we'd be able to quit our day jobs and create videos, on YouTube full time. We still have like a really super, super long way to go for that.
Yeah. But
I work freelance and, you know, like it's been very, very, very quiet on the freelance front for me. I've been thinking about like maybe putting out some stuff, see if anybody needs any editing done for YouTube centric stuff, because I'm generally pretty good, like quick turnaround for stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, we're doing well. I mean, the channel is pulling in decent money, you know. It's definitely money that we can
but I mean
we we can use, but it's certainly nothing to live on by any stretch of the imagination. Not, you know. But it's doing well. We are on a good growth trajectory right now.
Yeah. But I mean, it's also important to think, you know, we split everything 50-50. So yeah. It's, you know.
But we're also able to do twice as much.
Right.
I mean, hopefully in theory, the whole team aspect almost makes it to where we can do more than twice as much. That would.
Yeah. I mean, if we didn't have day jobs to worry about, or like,
oh yeah.
Like if my kids could go to daycare every day and we could work like 9 to 5 every day. I can't even think of the amount of stuff we'd probably be getting done.
Yeah. I'm thinking about like, I've been actually thinking about this for like a couple months now, but I just haven't really, I was kind of too behind, I think, to really go into this. And I really had to for the Switchers episode, just for several days on end, just do that all day or as much in the day as I had time, to do.
Right. But
I've been thinking a lot lately about like trying to settle more into a daily schedule. You know, kind of something like, you know, I from when I wake up to, you know, maybe 3 o'clock, I'm working on stuff for my day job.
Right.
Or, you know, roughly. Sometimes I have to, like, you know, actually go into the office and I might have to do a shoot. I might have to be there later to maybe shoot an event at night or something, you know. I mean, so obviously it'll vary from time to time, but, you know, do something like, you know, work on my day job till mid-afternoon and then maybe just work on M-League stuff if there's something to do. You know, up until, you know, I don't know, 8 or 9 o'clock or something. And just do that every day. And that could be something so simple as, I could just playing a game for an episode. It could just be recording general RGB footage from a particular system. It could be, maybe I just preemptively get B-roll for an episode I know I'm going to be doing.
Right.
Maybe it's writing something. Maybe it's researching something. Just doing something. And then that way at the end of the day, I say I got to cut into this off at like 8 or 9 o'clock. And I actually play a game or I watch something on Netflix, and I don't do that every day. And I think it's healthy to have that, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's mentally healthy to have that time to just do nothing, just do something for no other purpose than I just feel like it.
Yeah.
You know, just playing a game, making progress in a game I want to play. And I think if I know that I have that every day, then I'm not going to feel so burdened by some of the work that I'm doing, you know?
Yes.
So I'm going to experiment with that in May, I think. I think like start, because May 1st is a Monday, so that's like actually a really good time to do it. And plus, you know, since I just finished this episode working really crazy on, now I can just binge on Persona 5 for the rest of the month. And who knows? Maybe I could beat it in like 2 weeks if I like play like a whole crap ton. Wouldn't that be crazy?
Yeah, that'd be
ridiculous.
Yeah.
But
it'd be nice to be able to have that luxury. But I mean,
who knows?
Like as it is, like with me, like I have my son. Like I work freelance from home, but when things are quiet, then I have my son from 9 to 5 on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and Tuesday and Thursday he goes to daycare, and those are kind of like the days that I try to get as much in as I possibly can. And the problem with that is that sometimes it's just like kind of like a break, and or I feel like I just like have so much stuff to cram in on those days that I can't do other days.
Yeah. But so, yeah, I think I'm going to experiment with that and see if, like, I feel, like, more productive.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I might, you know?
Right.
Like, I tend to have this tendency of, like, I'm not a multitasker in any stretch of the imagination, but I'm almost like, and I know that, you know, they say that the humans really aren't good multitaskers, even though some people say they can multitask, but just people really shouldn't even try. And I just fully admit, I just can't do it. I like to focus, or like my tendency is to focus on things. You know, if I'm working on a project, I'm just going to work on that project all day long and not really do anything else.
Right.
I don't know if that's good or not, but that's just my what I tend to do. If I'm just going to play a video game, I'll just play it all day. Man, I don't have a problem with that. That don't
bother you.
That don't bother me. That don't bother me. You know, I can do that all day.
Yeah.
Or I can work on a project all day. Like, I focus on tasks. Like, just, and I don't know if maybe it would be good for me to experiment with trying to structure my day a little more, in a more balanced way. You know, I feel like that might be more productive in all other aspects of my life. I might get more work done for work. I might get more work done for MLEG. I might get more video games beaten if I just, or watch more movies or whatever. I just might get more done in everything. That's what I'm thinking. I'm going to experiment with it. I'm going to try it. That's what I'm thinking I'm going to do anyway.
I see that Austin 532 is asking if we're planning on doing a Ghosts and Goblins series video. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
That would be fun. Yeah. And
but,
especially,
you know,
like
at the same time, you know, there's another channel, Slopes Game Room, that does these complete history videos that are like same thing as like our series kind of
showcase.
Yeah. But I mean, he like really goes in depth. I mean, he just released one on Grand Theft Auto today that was an hour long.
Wow.
But they're very, very good. And he did one on Ghosts, on the Ghouls and Ghosts series. And I think, you know, I see something like that, and I think unless I can like really kind of put a spin on it.
Did he include like all of like the Gargoyles quest stuff?
I have no, you know, I don't know. I don't remember. Maybe. But that would be cool. But I mean, the channel is very, very good. His complete history stuff is really, really good. He just did a complete history on Mr. Nuts. the complete history of Mr. Nuts. Just like, okay. I don't know if it was kind of like, oh, well, I guess we could just do like a little video on Mr. Nuts. But all right, is that gonna do it for us tonight?
I guess that'll do.
All right,
well, so pay attention to our Twitter and whatever, and of course come to the stream next week, and or maybe the next week, whatever. We don't know when we'll be able to announce what our documentary is, but
I mean, in a perfect world, it will be able to be released before the game is released.
Yeah.
I would love for that to be able to happen. I would love for it to be completely done and for the game to get announced and then be like, okay, and also here's the episode right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Alrighty.
See you next week. I will be bachelor partied out by the time I return by this time next week. It'll be kind of
we'll figure out what we'll do. Maybe I'll have to stream.
Yeah. I mean, you haven't streamed a while.
Yeah, it just goes better when you stream.
Yeah, that's true. All right, everybody, we'll see you next week.
Good night.
Good night.